Let us pray together. Our loving Father in heaven, thank you that in your great mercy you called and you saved those who weren't even seeking you. And we here tonight, Lord, can say that was us. And we are only here because your grace has come to us and saved us. Lord, we pray that we would not be a disobedient or contrary people. Help us, Lord, to soften our hearts and believe and obey your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, my brother, Benjamin, this sermon tonight has been laid on my heart, I believe, for you in particular, as you take up your work here, as you've answered God's call. As visitors, I'm happy to share with you that Benjamin and Anna have just joined us in the last week. Ben's currently in the position of being an assistant, and the Lord willing, and exams pending, will be ordained and will join me in the ministry here in the next few months. And we're very blessed to have them. But I've felt led to preach a word I hope will be applicable to you, that will be an encouragement to you as you take up this work. But I hope it will teach and build up all of us, and especially anyone else who might preach. My text tonight is carrying on our series through Mark's Gospel, is simply from Mark chapter 1 and verses 14 and 15. If you'd like to turn there with me. The Gospel of Mark, chapter 1, and verses 14 and 15. And the scripture says, "Now after John was put in prison, Jesus came to Galilee, preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God, and saying, 'The time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel.'" The all-important doctrine, the truth to draw from these words tonight, is that our Lord Jesus Christ was a preacher. He was a preacher. Jesus Christ came preaching. He was a preacher. His calling, his vocation, his life's work given to him by God is he was called to preach. And in a very real sense, he still is in heaven preaching. And these verses tell us not only about the beginning of his preaching ministry, but they really give you an overview of what all his preaching and work was about. That it's a comprehensive statement about the preaching work of Christ. When the Son of God began his great work of redeeming the world, he came preaching. So this is a passage of tremendous importance for anyone called to preach and for anyone who listens to preaching, if you listen to preaching. Have confidence in preaching. Have confidence in preaching, the word of God. It is the instrument God has chosen to save the world. God has decided in his wisdom that he will display his glory and his power to save through the weak foolishness of preaching. Through weak, flawed human instruments who stumble, who and who are and who make mistakes, but who preach his word. Preaching is unpopular today. And in many places the call is for fewer and shorter sermons. I don't think that's the answer for the challenge we face. The real answer is we need better preaching. We need better preachers. Oh no, but the church needs to get with it. It's technology. That's how we'll reach people. Modern communication theories. Or we'll never reach ordinary people. God has not just given us the message. He's given us the method. And we must follow the example of Christ. God is a God who speaks. And he chooses to speak through chosen, anointed, and equipped preachers, the greatest of whom is God the Son himself. So have confidence in preaching. Listen to preaching. God will speak to you through it. And if you preach, speak as one who speaks the oracles of God. As 1 Peter says, you become his mouthpiece. So follow Christ's example and preach. And to be a preacher is a particularly privileged blessing and calling, because you are given the gift of sharing in Christ's own vocation. You get to share in a part of union with Christ that many saints do not have the privilege of knowing. You preach in Christ, for Christ, like Christ. Christ will be with you in preaching. He sometimes will meet you in the pulpit. It's an incredible honor. It's a gift to preach. I'm sure all the preachers here will nod their heads and say amen. And let me suggest, the most important thing about preaching is to remember this union with the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not really your work. You have just been joined to him in his great preaching work. And so your work is to reveal Jesus and to get out of the way so that his people hear his voice speaking through you. And as a preacher, you've got to remove yourself, like John the Baptist. In our scripture, he was put in prison. That was part, perhaps, of him being removed. But as he said, I must become less and he must become greater. And so you must be willing to lock yourself up and even be laid aside so the voice of Jesus is heard. But because of this union, because you're joining him in his work, be encouraged. He stands with you when you preach. Believe it. And when you step out in faith like that, his mighty strength and life will flow through you. His words through your words. And so if you want to preach, cultivate and embrace union with Jesus Christ. In order to be a preacher, study to be like Christ, so that his life is manifest in yours, his fruit and his character, his wisdom. In living in Christ, growing to be like Christ, in fellowship with Christ, you will begin to preach like Christ. From my text, let me suggest two important points for you. To be a preacher is the happiest calling you can have. And that is not to run down that we are all given different callings by God. We all glorify God in our different roles and works, whether at home or in industry, and we can rejoice in that. But let me humbly suggest that to be a preacher is the happiest calling you can have. And then secondly, we'll move on to be a preacher is the hardest calling you can have. So I put it to you that to be a preacher is the happiest calling you can have. Christ came preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God. Now, is there anything happier than this? To bring the good news of salvation to our dying, miserable, sin-sick world. And as a preacher, you have the privilege of bringing to dying souls, made in the image of God, precious to him, the wonderful message that can set them free, that can heal them and save them. You are a light bringer, a hope giver, a forgiver of sins. You're called to heal broken hearts and set captives free. You're called to open the eyes of the blind and reveal the glory of God. And you're called to bring others to worship God who do not know him. You know, there's this increasing number of lotteries for charities about now. And you see them on the adverts where they surprise winners. They knock on the doorstep and they've got those ridiculous comedy oversized checks to give them. And the people are always overjoyed and surprised. As a preacher, you stand and knock on people's hearts with far greater riches, with everlasting salvation, the treasures of heaven. So you should expect to bring happiness and peace to weary souls. You're like a doctor. He's going into a foreign country that's ravaged by malaria. You carry the gospel medicine that never fails to heal and heal completely. But shouldn't it give you joy to know that's your work? I imagine one of the happiest professions in the world is to be a midwife. And Kristen and I are expecting our third. But you are called to help birth the children of God. A midwife gets to see a parent's happy smiling faces. You will cause there to be rejoicing in heaven, even with the angels, as you preach and people believe. So never forget that first and foremost, you are to bring good news. The time has come, says Christ. The time is fulfilled. The kingdom of God is dawning. Christ has come. And although it often doesn't look like it, the forces of sin and darkness are being overthrown. Remember how many saints and prophets and righteous people long to see this day. Blessed are your eyes because you see it. You live in the days of the wonderful dawning of the rebirth of the human race. You live and work at the beginning of the kingdom age, when creation's going to be healed. Sins are being forgiven. Souls are being made holy. Death is defeated. The kingdom of God is powerfully coming. And your preaching, even in a small little church, is part of that glorious sunrise that is going to fill the earth. So what a message you have to proclaim. This kingdom, this power, this rule of God coming on earth. Christ has come. And how has he ascended to this throne? What a wonderful Savior who died for his enemies. For his enemies to redeem them by his blood. What depths and oceans of love you have to pass on. What hope you have for hopeless souls. A mighty risen conquering Savior at the right hand of God who can save to the uttermost whoever calls on him. So what a happy thing to be a preacher. You can also trust and rely upon the Spirit of God. Christ begins preaching after his baptism, after the Holy Spirit is sent upon him in power. And again, united to Christ, you share in that anointing. And you will find his mighty power will be with you. If you rely on him, you will lack nothing. Sermons will be given to you, illustrations and insights. You'll be amazed, as sometimes he seems to pick you up and blow through you. And you find that your sermons have really helped people. How happy to know the Spirit of God will be with you. And you can be happy in this work because you too have experienced the joy of this great salvation. How privileged you are to be amongst the called and the chosen and know your sins are forgiven, that God is at peace with you. You are at one with Christ in heaven, and eternal life is yours. The world is drowning in bad news. Hopelessness is the atmosphere we minister in. Do you know, especially working on an estate like ours. You know, I was reading something written by a doctor this past week, where he had doctors come from Africa and Nigeria, where they'd been working in slums, and they came to work here in England. On an estate a lot like ours. And at first they say, oh, this is wonderful. Everybody's got running water. Oh, and everybody's got a roof over their head. And then this English doctor recalls that after about 6 months, after they've spent time getting to know people, that they would all uniformly say, you know, it's better in the slums in Africa. Because here, there's a spiritual, moral apathy, emptiness. Families are broken. People are living without hope, and they've got all these material things, and yet their lives are utterly empty. That's where we minister. People are finding temporary happiness in distractions and entertainment, relationships. And God does give us earthly joys to comfort us. But honestly, and it's only going to become clearer and clearer, most people outside of Christ are truly unhappy and miserable. And so miserable, they spend their lives running from it. You know the secret of true joy and blessedness. You have a fountain of life, a joy to share in your preaching with people who are scrabbling for a few tiny drops in a leaky bucket. So how happy you should be as a preacher. How Jesus himself rejoiced in the work. You know the scripture. He rejoiced in his Father and in his love. And as he saw the gospel being preached, he rejoiced in the Spirit. So never be a miserable preacher. You must be serious. You must be sober. We deal with life and death, with the everlasting destiny of creatures made in God's image. And you handle holy things like priests in the temple. And so we minister in the fear of God. But how can a preacher ever give the impression of being miserable? You've got the greatest, most wonderful good news. So make sure you open your heart to the joy of the gospel. And your smiling face, beaming with this good news, will preach. Don't be a preacher who seems to treat preaching as such a chore, as if it's some boring, depressing thing. It's the honey that catches the fly. Let the joy of the Lord be your strength. So preach the good news, Christ in his kingdom. Surely to be a preacher is the happiest calling there is. But for all the happiness of preaching, you will find the call to preach is the hardest calling there is. When I began preaching, there was a wise old Methodist preacher who was my tutor. And he said something I've never forgot. He said, if you ever want to be any use as a preacher, you'll have to know what it means to carry a cross. And I had no idea what he meant. I'm starting to understand. If you want to preach like Christ, you've got to carry a cross like Christ. Christ was prepared to preach in part by his suffering in the wilderness, which has just taken place in Mark's gospel. He was trained and equipped to preach in part by the weakness and the temptations he endured in the desert. And they fitted him and they molded him so that he could help people, so that he could empathize, so he would know how to speak a word in season. You probably know Martin Luther's famous words. I did not learn my theology all at once, but I had to search deeper for it, where my temptations took me. Not understanding, reading, or speculation, but living, nay, dying, and being damned, make a theologian. Now, how much more so if you're to preach, if you want to help people's souls, people who are really suffering? Don't be content to preach a nice, airy sermon, or a nice, intellectually stimulating sermon that doesn't help a suffering soul. And God will lead you through terrible experiences of loss and pain and temptation. You must gain spiritual experience of crosses and losses, persecution and weakness, to equip you to minister to those in need. And anything you've suffered already has all been preparation for this calling. So do not turn back from suffering when it comes, but embrace it as God's gift to you, as his discipline. Learn from it how to counsel others who walk in the dark. So Christ learned to preach in the wilderness. And like Christ, your wilderness times will be alone. They'll be kept hidden from others. But learn from it, and it's hard not to grumble or complain, but to trust God and faithfully endure. And as we considered Wednesday night, think of that wonderful example from the ministry of Spurgeon. He once had to preach in the midst of a terrible depression. And he spoke with feeling about the depths of despair the human heart can know. And only later did he find out a man had entered the church that night considering suicide. And only because Spurgeon had been in the depths could his soul be reached. It's a hard calling, because you must be devoted to God's word. Christ preached the words his Father gave him. He knew the scriptures, and he preached in one sense nothing new. He exegeted and he explained and he unfolded and he applied everything in the Old Testament. And he found ways to bring it to light in new and creative ways, so that his listeners, the poor, the uneducated, could get it. And his preaching, flowing from the word of God, was faithful. He didn't speak anything of himself, only what the Father gave him. And so must you. You must labor to mind the contents of Scripture. You've got to sweat and pray in the study for the insights God wants to give his people. And it's hard work to be faithful. Don't introduce your own imagination or quirky positions or particular hobby horses. You'd be tempted to do all of that and to preach something novel, something to draw attention. And it's a struggle to get the balance right, to reflect the weight of what the word says. And you'll misunderstand some things and make mistakes, and learning comes slowly. You've got to do the hard work of preaching the word. And it will be hard because, I'll forewarn you, the people sat in front of you will at one time or another be disappointed with you. They might sometimes think you've got an easy job. I think they could have done it better. And some weeks they probably could have. Some will think you just work a few hours here and there, that any fool can rustle up a sermon, and your hours of prayer won't be known. And in this and in a thousand other ways, people will not understand your calling. It's not honourable. It's not popular to be a preacher. You will be a Galilean, misrepresented and looked down on. And you must, like Christ, persist in the task. You must be faithful. And you must work hard. And yet all of that, at the end of the day, you know it will all be in vain unless the Holy Spirit blesses it. And you are dependent on it for any blessing and success. It's the hardest calling because, and again this is to forewarn you, the devil will assault you. As Christ was attacked in the desert and throughout his work, you are engaged in invisible but deadly spiritual warfare. And you are on the front line. You will be exposed to temptations and attacks. And how you need people to pray for you. You'll know the difference. You'll know the difference as you preach week by week when people have been praying for you and when they have not. You know that there's been a lot of celebrity preachers who've all fallen into disgrace recently. A lot of the stories from America have been heartbreaking. But I can't help but wonder, were they being prayed for? Were they being prayed for? A preacher is set up to be a target for Satan's arrows, and you will need people to pray for you. At times you'll feel alone. And it's the hardest calling because you preach a hated message. The kingdom of God is drawing near. Judgment day is coming. You preach to warn men and women that God will hold them to account for their sin. You are to rebuke sin publicly and privately, harshly and gently as the need fits. No one will thank you when you try to confront their sin. There's not a human being alive who'll say, thank you for telling me I got that wrong. Christ was crucified by his enemies because he exposed and rebuked their sin. And he rebuked their covetousness, their worldliness, their greed. You are called to preach that same confrontational message. Do so and you will save your own soul. Turn back and compromise and you will be lost. Go with the values of the world, you will perish. As James says, a teacher will be judged more harshly. So keep a close watch on yourself. Maintain a constant fight against your own sin. And yet you must preach about sin, lostness and God's judgment, and the only way of salvation through Jesus Christ. And many will hate you for it. And yet you must learn to preach this terrible warning with love. How to warn men and women in a way that draws them and doesn't push them away. Preaching hard things does not mean preaching them in a hard way. It's remarkable that no one preached judgment more than Christ, and yet sinners flocked to him. You are a fellow sinner, saved by grace, offering the same mercy to others. And it's the hardest calling, because you must preach with urgency. Do you see in the text? It just jumps from the page. The urgency in Christ's preaching here. He was terribly in earnest. And you must stir yourself up and be zealous. You must never be satisfied with the state of things. You will find there is a lot of inertia to overcome in churches. We live in low spiritual times, when most Christians are selfish and small, and they think too much of their own things and not enough of Christ, and they've got little passion or love for those who are perishing. And you will find all this spiritual apathy can have a dampening effect on you. You must keep the fire going. Don't be discouraged. Don't lose your zeal. But be urgent, seeking to save souls and to keep this up day in, day out. I struck recently reading John Wesley's journals. And when he was 74, his entry for that day was, took to the streets of London to gather a collection for the poor. And at 74, he went door to door. So it is the happiest task, but it is the hardest task. And the only way to possibly take it on is to commune much with Jesus Christ. You remember from the scriptures when the apostles began to preach and they faced opposition, their enemies said about them, they knew they'd been with Jesus. And that's the source of their power. It is only in union with him that you can undertake this awesome but happy work. So above all else, know Christ, love Christ, draw near to Christ. And one final word to encourage you as you start a work here. To be called to preach is the most honourable vocation. God is glorified in all his people's different roles, but there's an honour waiting for you. In the letters of Revelation, Christ speaks to the angels of the churches, the messengers of the churches. And he says he holds such angels in his hands, that there are crowns prepared for them. Who are these angels of Christ spoken about in such a way to be promised such a reward? The preachers. He's speaking to the preachers of the church. So indeed, if you're called to preach, there is this great encouragement. You're in Christ's hand. May God give you grace to fulfill your ministry. Let us pray. Almighty Father, who are we to preach your everlasting gospel? It is good news so glorious, angels are not worthy of declaring it. And who are we, Lord, just pens in your hand, just instruments for you to use? We confess, Lord, we are not worthy to preach this wonderful gospel. But we pray, in your great love and mercy, that you would make us the happiest of people. And through all the hardships, we pray that you would help us to draw closer to Christ. We thank you that all the fullness of grace we need is in him. We pray, Father, for Benjamin. We pray, Lord, for all who preach. We pray, Lord, that they would know the anointing and the help of the Holy Spirit. We pray, Lord, that you would powerfully work through them as you declare your gospel. In Jesus' name, amen.